read again in our Bibles from, first of all, from the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. And verse number 1, Mark chapter 11, verse 1, we're going to read tonight about three different places, and each of these places are associated with two ways. So just to keep that in mind, three places, and each place has two ways associated with it. So verse 1, Mark chapter 11 and verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye shall be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, what do ye? Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? Now turn over to the Gospel of Luke, please. So we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 16, Luke chapter 16, and verse 26, Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. This is a scene from hell. Only the Lord could peel back the layers to look into hell and tell us what was happening. Luke 16, verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he, this is the rich man in hell, said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. We're not reading the whole stories here in these places because it would take a lot of time to do that. We're just lifting pertinent details. Luke 23 and verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors or evildoers, one in the right hand and the other in the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the people stood beholding. Three places, two ways. When it comes to this passage that we have read in Mark chapter 11, we find that the Lord Jesus sent his disciples to a place, and it was a place where there were two ways that would meet. And there was a donkey that was tied there, and that donkey was to be released and brought to him because the Lord had need of him. And tonight, I'm not so much thinking about the donkey. I mean, we could relate it in many different ways. You could think about the Old Testament passage in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, where the firstborn of a donkey was to be redeemed. If they were not to redeem it, they were to break its neck, and a lamb would have to die for the donkey so that the donkey could be brought out from underneath the condemnation and the curse that was associated with him. It was a creature that had to be redeemed. But I'm not so much thinking about that tonight. I want to think about this particular donkey. And here was a donkey that was tied. A donkey that was about to be released. A donkey that was in a very special place, as we find him in Scripture. I'm not thinking about the fact that he was at this place, Bethpage and Bethany, not even thinking about the particular place, but I want to take this donkey and just use it to cause someone in this meeting to think about the place where you are. The place where you are. Because just as there was a donkey where two ways met, so you are tied in a place. And there are two ways that you can go. Two ways that represent a choice. There was a man that we heard about, and there were two ways that he could go. Having heard about the Messiah, the Deliverer, the one that came, and the one that would be wounded for him, he had a choice to make. And for that man, it was a no-brainer. There was only one way that made sense. There was only one thing and one sensible choice to be made for that man that we were hearing him all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and now back to the wilderness. And that's where he found Christ. What a place that must have been. And for all of his life, he would look back to that place, that particular place. And he would say, it could have gone either way. I had a choice to make. And I made it that day. Thank God for an evangelist called Philip. Thank God for a Savior that came to find me and to save me from that place. Imagine if he had never heard it. Imagine if he never heard about Christ. There would only be one way to go. Listen, just imagine for a minute. If you never heard the message that we are preaching. If you never had the chance to make a choice. But you have heard the gospel. You are now responsible. And every time you hear the gospel, you are at a place where two ways are meeting. And you have to make a choice. You have to either choose Christ or you turn away from Christ. And that's the two ways. Think about this man and this place, this donkey and this place. Because there are some things I want to apply to you. First of all, we begin the chapter finding this, that Christ is near. They drew near. It wasn't the disciples with whom the opportunity came. I know the disciples were sent and we have been sent, but it's not us that can save you. We could never bring a message if it were not for the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, the marvel of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ came down. Became a man to die so that you and I could be saved. And we're here tonight simply to share the message of the gospel with you. But this is the point that I don't want you to miss tonight. Just like a blind man who heard, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He is coming very near to you. For some he has come near many times. You've always turned away. You've always made the wrong choice. But here you are tonight, others. You haven't heard it too many times, perhaps, but you're hearing it tonight, and we want you to not to miss this. Christ is near. He is the Savior, and he is the only one that can save you. For that Ethiopian eunuch, he may have lived from another country. He may have come from another country, rather. He may have been taught some other religion. But when it boiled down to it, he understood this. It is not that religion that I heard there. It was not my money. It was not success that can bring satisfaction. But there is one means of salvation. There is one means of satisfaction. It's found in this deliverer, this Savior. And he wanted to know, tell me about him. Who is this person? How come he died? Why did he suffer? Did you ever stop to consider the marvelous journey of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven as it's been preached to you in different nights over the last few weeks? Do you ever wonder why he suffered so much? Do you ever wonder why men hated him so much? Do you ever wonder why God punished him for sins? Those are valid questions, valid things to think about tonight. And here was this donkey in a place where two ways met and Christ was near. That's number one. But you know this, notice as those came to, they were sent to release him. Do you know what it says? It was as soon as they were come into the village. Not only was Christ near, but I don't want you to miss this. That donkey was tied, but he was in a place where freedom was so near. Freedom was so close. He must have almost been able to smell it, the open air of the outside the village. Listen, this world is a place where people are tied. People are tied to their jobs, tied to their mortgages, tied to relationships. It's a place of bondage because they're tied to their sins. And you yourself, you might not have realized it yet, but there's burdens. There are things, there is a bondage associated that is far worse than any other bondage. It's a bondage of sin. And you are tied like this donkey. And freedom is so close because Christ is near. It was just seems as if they just left Christ and just barely come into the village. And there he was. And while it was so close, he could so easily have missed it because he was tied and he couldn't free himself. We're here to tell you tonight that freedom is very, very close. Salvation is near. Christ has made it possible. You cannot free yourself. And we're not trying to frustrate you by telling you that salvation is near. We want you to be serious about freedom and salvation, because like this donkey, you are so near. You're so close. You'll never be closer than you are right now under the sound of the gospel that Christ is near. Christ is near. Freedom was near. Do you notice that he was tied and it was just by a door? Right by a door. Could I tell you tonight, there's some of you that could be this little person right here. You're traveling onward through time toward death. This side is eternity. This side is time. This is the Lord's coming. And either by the rapture or by death, your opportunity may soon be over. And for this little donkey, he was tied right by a door. Door reminds us of blessing. And inside that door, there are blessings that are immediate if you trust Christ. And they're eternal. Don't miss it. Right by the door. But fourthly, true meaning and value were so near. I mean, this donkey was about to be offered one of the greatest privilege of its entire life. This was something that had been prophesied, that there would be a donkey that would carry the Lord to Jerusalem. It had been foretold. And many times in Scripture, people are privileged in that way. Mary was a privileged individual, that there would be a virgin that would carry the Christ. She would be the vehicle by which Christ would come into the world, virgin birth. And this donkey, just on the very verge of prophecy to be fulfilled. Now just imagine, you know what donkeys are noted for. They're noted for being stubborn and rebellious. And this donkey's will had never been bowed to any man before. Never had his will broken. Never had bowed. And the bowing of the will, as we've been preaching in previous nights, reminds us of repentance. It's agreeing with God that I'm a sinner. And here you are tonight. And blessing, true value and meaning has never been nearer. This is what it says of him. This is what the Lord said of him. The Lord, has need of him. And there was going to be a donkey that was going to carry Christ to Jerusalem. What about you tonight? True meaning and value has never been nearer for you. This very night, you could begin to carry Christ to friends, to family. The Lord, when he comes, he doesn't just come for a minute. He doesn't just come for an hour. You remember what it says about Zacchaeus, that short little man who climbed a tree, and the Lord says, come down. Today I must abide at thy house. I want to tell you something. When the Lord comes, he comes with you to stay. And there will be true meaning and value. That Ethiopian man that we heard about, never was there a portion of his life that was so valued, where he was so valued. Never was there a portion in his life that had such meaning as that moment after the wilderness experience, when he came to hear about Christ and he received Christ. He made the right choice and he was saved. And for the rest of his life, he carried Christ to Ethiopia. Well, that's as far as we're led to believe anyway. We don't know. He went back to his job, likely even carrying it to his boss, the queen. But he carried Christ. And there is no life that can have true meaning apart from a life, a heart, a soul that is filled with Christ and can carry Christ to a world. Carry Christ through the sorrows of life, and he carries you. Have true meaning and joy, a sense of belonging. Listen, my friend, would you not want to be associated with Christ? Would you not want to be known as one that belongs to Christ? One whom Christ loves. I want to tell you, Christ valued this donkey. I don't know about the owners. They were quite content to let him go. And you know what? There will be people that will value you in this world. There are relationships, there are intimate partners, there are bosses, there are companies that will value you. And then when they have sucked what they need from you, they will let you go. And you'll just be a number, but never with Christ. You recognize the value that Christ has on your soul. Could you question it? When he gave himself for you? Could you question the value? As Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you, Christ values you. And true meaning and value, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord, who really needed nothing, had a longing for this donkey to have him, to possess him, to have relationship. And so he is with you. He longs that you would receive him and he would abide with you. True meaning was never near as it was at that moment. You know, the final thing I want to just bring to you about this donkey was a very solemn one. There were bystanders that were near. They had something to say. What are you doing? Why are you trying to loose the colt? You don't think people have something to say about you coming to gospel meetings? You don't think people think it was strange? There are people that likely have questioned you already. Satan will make sure of it. The enemy. But I want to remind you of this. Those who had something to say and those who questioned it, the donkey could never blame them, and you can never blame them. Because they couldn't stop it. They released the donkey. They let him go. They'll let you go too. They might have something to say. It might be awkward. You might feel embarrassed. But if you want release, if you want Christ, you are in a place where two ways meet. and you have a choice to make. And though others may speak and may laugh and may question, what are you doing? They can never hold you, because Christ can release the bondage that you are in. A place where two ways met. We read in Luke 23 about Calvary. And again, there are two ways associated with Calvary. There is the way that Isaiah 53 in verse 6 speaks about as we approach Calvary. You know what the record of Scripture is? We have turned every one to his own way. That's true of every sinner that was there. Every human being that was there, apart from Christ, had turned to his own way. All had sinned. But you know the other way that came to Calvary? John the Baptist, it was his whole ministry. Do you know what Luke chapter 3 and verse 4 says? And of course, all three gospel writers said a quotation from the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. That John was there, a voice crying in the wilderness, and this was his job, to prepare you the way of the Lord. You know what Calvary was about? It was the way of God to a sinful people who had turned to his own way. It's where God wants to meet the sinner. The way of the sinner with all of their sins, all of the rebellion, and the way of the Lord to the sinner as the Savior. And you know where those two ways meet? At Calvary, where Christ satisfied God. The claims of sin, they've been met. And God can righteously save you because Christ has taken the sinner's place. So the sinner's way and the way of God, the way of the Savior, both meet at Calvary. You know, it's the truth of propitiation in the Bible. It's a meeting place. It's a mercy seat. It's a place where the blood that we heard about with all of its value last night, the blood of the Son of God, was shed. And at the mercy seat in the Old Testament, it was a place where sinners could meet with a holy God, because blood had been shed. And that is where you can meet God tonight. It's at Calvary. You've turned your own way, but tonight you've got a choice to make. Will you meet God on the ground of righteousness that the cross of Calvary has provided? The Savior in his blood has paid the price so that you can meet a God of mercy. And can I tell you, you don't want to meet God any other way. You don't want to meet God in your sins when there's no Savior to save you. Meet him at Calvary, where the blood of Christ can answer for your sins and God can forgive you. Calvary is a place where two ways meet, the sinners and the Saviors. Luke 16 is a place where the Savior tells us a story. And he said, there are two ways. He said, those ways are closed. They're not open. There is no one that can come to show mercy from heaven. They cannot come from hence to you in hell. Nor can they go to hell, to heaven. Hell is real. And there are two places that exist in the imagination of people, that somehow in hell there is a way of mercy. But the Savior said it doesn't exist. It's just in the imagination. And some people think that from hell they have imagined that there is a way of escape from hell to heaven. And the Savior mentions two ways that exist in the imagination, but not in reality. He says, they cannot come from hence to you. No way of mercy. Nor can they come from you to there. No way of escape. Don't ever find yourself in that place where two imaginary ways you find out they don't exist. Please don't go to hell. You're at a place where two ways meet tonight. Make the right choice. And like the Ethiopian man, choose Christ. Choose salvation. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We've considered the plight of souls like a lost donkey. We ask thee that none will remain where they are in their bondage, not knowing that Christ is near and freedom is near. We would ask thee that some might come to Calvary and meet a gracious God on the grounds of shed blood. We would ask for thy blessing. We don't want anybody that we ever speak to, certainly none in this meeting tonight, to ever be in the real place that the Savior tells us about, hell. We would pray for salvation, pray for seriousness, even tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.